As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yeah, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Thursday, August the 26th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions to you as well from time to time. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, get that tongue rolled out there, Willie, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. Big breath there. 512-904-8014 to join me live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net and bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96. Out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. A big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, 1650, micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, AM 1610 Lompoc, California, AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. And boy, there are about 20 more on that list. Anyway, thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. All that contact information can be found on our webpage, becomevocallocal.com. Precious metals and the equities trade higher on less bad employment data. It's always less bad. Anyway, Alaska Tea Party, big bucks, pricey toys, you can't eat the broadband. We'll talk about all of that this morning. Legislative history, paralegal discussions, conventions on the law of the sea, your calls, and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for this morning, Thursday. Active trading again out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If I wrote this chart out at 8:55 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we would have found gold trading up 10, 15 bucks almost. Really, really nice. I mean, I was in just such a happy mood. But no, at 9 o'clock, the ETFs came in and bang, bing, 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 bang, down it goes again, off $2.10, trading at $1,237.90 this morning. Silver, however, spared a little bit of the grief, up 11 cents, now above $19 at $19.05 a troy ounce. You got to like that $19 silver. When will we see $20 an ounce? Platinum up 18 bucks. Big move in platinum this morning, $1,531 an ounce. And yippee skippy, palladium again above $500, up 11 bucks at $505 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,235.90 for a low and $1,245.10 for a high. But at $1,237.90, your gold is up year to year $292.40 an ounce for a 30.93% return on your investment. You're not going to get that at your local bank, I can assure you. We'll be right back. Much more to come. Stay tuned.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com. the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in many bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, August the 26th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Got a market report running here this morning. Let's go back in and close that out once again and review. Gold off $2.10 this morning at $1,237.90 an ounce. It was up $10.40, I believe it was. Right about a minute and a half before 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I refresh my browser and bingo, bango, there's a waterfall. Straight line drops. You got to watch that. That's the exchange-traded funds coming into the market. Perhaps the president's working group on financial markets. All of that, I guess it's designed to diminish investors' enthusiasm for participation in the precious metals and to try and drive people foolishly back into the stocks, but it didn't work. Anyway, just hang on. If you got a little bit of extra change available, you might take advantage of the quick dip and call your broker and see if you can't lock a price in around the $12.37.90. It's very likely to go back up today. We'll see where it goes. I don't have a crystal ball. Anyway, silver this morning up 11 cents at $19.05 an ounce. I'd like to see that. How much higher will it go? Will it hold the $19 mark? Will it hold it for a couple of weeks? It would be nice if it could. Platinum up 18 bucks at $1,531 an ounce. The real news there, though, is palladium over the $500 mark again, up $11. Real strong move in palladium. The lows and the highs again in the gold spot market. Here's this bracket that I watched myself $1,235.90. That's where they knocked it down to, and it was trading right near the 1245.10 mark, near the high so far this morning. But at 1237.90, your gold, like I said before, is still up $292.40 an ounce for a 30.93% return on your investment. We're going to get to a news article that you're going to see what kind of a blessing that is. London Gold Fix this morning, the AM Gold Fix, the boys in London, London Bullion Market Association. If you don't make it a habit of checking out their website, or if you've never seen it before, browse it up. Go to the London Bullion Market Association and find out a little bit about these price fixers. But in England, they set the price at $1,240.25 this morning, and that's just about where it was when I turned on the computer this morning. The SPDR gold shares overnight unchanged, still holding 1,297.95 metric tons of gold. However, they may have been in the market this morning doing a little selling, but they have a value on the street at these spot prices of $51.62 billion. They certainly have pockets deep enough to do the nasties on the gold market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday up 20 at 10,060. Coming back down to that 10,000 zone again. The NASDAQ up, closed up 18 at 2142, and the S&P 500 closed up 3 at 1,055. This morning, crude oil moves up $1.03 to $73.55 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. You do the math. My math tells me that's $1.75 a gallon before it ever sees a refinery. You got to know why it's so expensive at the pump. The U.S. dollar index this morning moves down 22 basis points, stands at exactly 83.00, whatever that's supposed to mean. It's just all digits to me, but it impacts the foreign exchange rates, of course. The Canadian loonie up 32 basis points at 95 cents U.S. So if you're taking a trip to traveling to Canada, you'd be exchanging your U.S. dollars for Canadian dollars. You'd get you'd have to pay 95 cents for every Canadian dollar. The Mexican peso, fill up your pockets at 8 cents a pop this morning. They move up 15 basis points. The euro up 18 basis points at $1.27. The British pound up strong, up 41 basis points at $1.55. I imagine that makes the Queen, the Crown, and the Parliament assembled happy. The Swiss franc this morning up 34 basis points in exchanges against the U.S. dollar at 97 cents, nearing parity with the U.S. dollar and leaving the Canadian loonie in the dust. The bond market this morning, the two-year bond yield moves up a little bit. It was 0.47 yesterday. This morning, it's up at 0.51, a rather strong move in that two-year treasury. The 10-year yield is at 2.53%. And the 30-year at 3.56. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages moved down from 4.09% a month ago to 3.92% this morning, and the 30-year moves down from 4.61 to 4.49, and of course the prime rate stands at 3.25%. Well, you hear about it quite often. We hear about things like options expiration dates and triple witching. Well, what does it mean here? This is off of the Options Industry Council website. They give a couple of answers under the frequently answered questions section. It says, what does the term triple witching hour mean? Triple witching is the third Friday of March, June, September, and December, when options, index futures, and options on index futures expire concurrently, massive trades in options and underlying stocks by hedge strategists and arbitrageurs can cause above-average volume and added market volatility. So you want to pay attention to these days because you know that there's going to be lots of action in the marketplace, and if you're not aware of it, it might bite you in the bottom, or you could just be overwhelmed by activity that you don't understand. In the early 1980s, when organized futures and options exchanges began trading standardized contracts based on stock indices, that final value of those indices for cash settlement purposes was usually the close of trading on the third Friday of the month. All right, well, we're at that time of the month, and tomorrow it looks like these things are going to expire, so we might see quite a lot of positioning going on in the marketplace today. because these arbitrage strategies were market neutral, simply taking advantage of a price discrepancy between the index and the derivatives on the index, they didn't represent any real opinion on the market's direction. But unwinding only one side of the strategy with a market order and letting the other side cash settle sometimes caused huge gyrations in the markets during the final hour of trading on the third Friday of that month. Eventually, many of these expiring contracts switched from using Friday's closing prices to using the opening price or the trading price range of for each of the component stocks in determining their settlement values. This lessened the pressure for immediate execution at any price and allowed the possibility of delayed openings for further for order imbalances at exchanges that have procedures in place. Lots of words being said here. What are the options? Why do options expire on the third Friday of the month? Technically speaking, standardized options expire on Saturday following the third Friday of the month. The reason that equity and index options expire on this day is due to the fact that this day offers the least number of scheduling conflicts, in other words, holidays. So it's all just based on the calendar and things like that. Let's go in and pick a little bit more up here. Disappointing jobless numbers. It could have been worse. Wasn't as bad as it could have been, so I guess it's just a less bad day. Jobless claims swung lower in the August 21 week in what should slow the deepening pessimism. Does it? Will it? I don't think so. But anyway, that's what they claim. Initial jobless claims fell 31,000 for the second biggest decline of the year. Well, I guess that's good news for some, bad news for others.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
Certainly, if we could trust these numbers, then I guess we would have something that we could, put in our cap and take with us. But, you know, these numbers are so specious. Next week they'll come out and they'll revise them up. They'll revise them down. So they're just numbers, all right? But really, the consensus range here that the economists were projecting was somewhere between 475,000 and 510,000 new jobless claims. And they came in at 495,000. Yeah, no, 473,000. The consensus was they were shooting for 495, 495,000. They came in at 473,000, so everybody, got real excited about that. But the 473,000 level, the report says here, level is still on the high side when compared to levels in July, evident in the four-week average of 486,750, which is the worst since November. On the continuing side, continuing claims fell 62,000 in data for the August 14th week. And that's not good news, all right? Just because you have continuing claims coming down doesn't necessarily imply that those people went to work. For a lot of those 62,000 people, they have just simply run out of benefits. And that's not a good thing. As the author here writes, some of the decline also reflects the expiration of benefits as job seekers simply fall out of the insured labor pool. Like falling out of a pool? Yeah, right. Well, that's interesting. There's more news that's going to come out tomorrow. I think Benjamin Shalom Bernanke is going to speak, and that's not making anybody too happy. They're not looking forward to what he might have to say, and so there's a little bit of a tremble in the market as regards that. But let's go into this article. Fed seeks delay of bank data release while considering appeal. Bob Ivery and David Glovin collaboratively writing for Bloomberg. The Federal Reserve Board sought to delay the court-ordered release of documents identifying banks that may have failed without the U.S. government bailout while it considers an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. So they're stalling here. There's a stalling technique going on. The Fed asked the U.S. Court of Appeals in New York yesterday to delay implementation of a court ruling that compels the central banks to release documents. Quote, the stay is necessary to permit the board to consult the Department of Justice regarding an appeal to the Supreme Court, Fed spokesman David Skidmore said. All right? They're trying to hide their tracks and hide behind their courts that they have packed so carefully. The appeals court on August the 20th denied the Fed's request to reconsider its decision, requiring it to release records of the $2 trillion U.S. loan program. I mean, I sure hope that this court will stand its ground and insist that the Fed disclose, don't you? If the stay is granted, the Central Bank and the Clearinghouse Association, LLC, an organization of 20 commercial banks that joined the Fed in defense of the lawsuit, will have 90 days to petition the Supreme Court to consider an appeal. So that's 3 months out. We're out the end of the year. The Clearinghouse has already said it'll ask the High Court to rule on the case. At issue are 231 term sheets, quote-unquote term sheets, documenting Fed loans to financial firms during 2008. The records, which include the bank's names and the amounts borrowed, were originally requested by a late Bloomberg News reporter Mark Pittman. I don't know what happened to Mark. I have to check that out. Maybe he met an untimely end. Hope not. Through the Freedom of Information Act, which allows citizens access to government papers. The appeals court upheld a decision of a lower court judge who in August 2009 ordered that the information be released. The Fed argued in the case, which was brought by Bloomberg LP, the parent of Bloomberg News, that the disclosure of the documents threatens to stigmatize borrowers and cause them severe and irreparable competitive injury, close quote, discouraging banks in distress from seeking help. Well, there's more to that, but then they go ahead and they give you the clue that you need to have. The Bloomberg case is Bloomberg LP versus Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System 09-0483, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit out of New York. And, of course, we've been studying a little bit on paralegals and what is a paralegal and how to do legal research and writing, and so this kind of numbers start to have more meaning for us. But we'll cover that in a moment. Here's a little bit of something interesting coming up. Broadband trumps farmer payments as the usurper remakes assistance to rural U.S. You know, we hear so much about farmer subsidies, farmer subsidies. Well, this by Alan Bjerga, August the 26th, 2010. You know, so many of these writers that write for Bloomberg sounds like they just got off a boat from someplace in Russia yesterday. I don't know, maybe not. And with a name like that, of course, he was probably forced to learn how to read and write English at an early age. He writes well. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack knows that Farm Belt Protocol requires paying respect to the butter cow. All right, well, it's fair season in the Midwest, fair season. It's the harvest season. And so there's a butter cow at this particular fair. During a visit to the Iowa State Fair on August the 17th, he made the requisite pilgrimage to the 600-pound bovine sculpture carved from pure creamery butter. Can you imagine such a thing? A 600-pound butter cow. Now that Vilsack is the U.S. Agricultural Secretary, he wants to take a chunk out of another sacred cow, a $15.4 billion in farm subsidies. All right? You've got to cut corners every place, and the farm subsidies ought not go spared. Record federal deficits and changing priorities are spurring Barry the Usurper's administration to redirect who gets rural aid. The government is shifting payments to broadband providers, land conservation efforts, and nutrition programs. Right? Now, I started it out. You know, you can't eat broadband. You can't eat broadband. You can't eat the conservation efforts. They're shutting off the breadbasket, folks. Pay attention. The government is shifting its payments to broadband instead of the $15.4 billion going into farm subsidies. They're shifting their payments to broadband providers. That's their friends on Wall Street. Land conservation efforts. We talked about that the other day. The vultures eating the eco movement. Right? And nutrition programs. These would be like what? School lunch, free lunch. Free lunch, you can have all of the useless, tasteless, you know, unidentifiable slop that they can slap on your tray after you've passed your thumb scanner over the thumb scanner recording button and debited your account. To many farmers, the changes seem designed to satisfy organic food devotees. First Lady Michelle Obama, anti-obesity cause, the weekend duck hunters and small-town internet users. Everyone, that is, except the farmer. Chris Luoma, 55, a cattle rancher and crop insurance salesman, visiting the Iowa Fair from Arcadia, Nebraska, blames the ignorance of Washington policymakers. A lot of them, he said, don't know where their food comes from. And that's probably the truth. A lot of them probably haven't been in a grocery store in decades. God forbid they should have to go to the grocery. That's the job of the housekeeper, right? Vilsack's USDA. Well, we'll have to get back to the Vilsack's USDA right after these words from our sponsor.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so we've returned once again looking at this article off the Bloomberg website as regards taking the money, let's say, transferring away from farmer subsidies. And I got plenty to say about subsidizing the farmers. And then, yet, exchange is setting that money into different places and supporting or underwriting the expansion of broadband internet, conservation set-asides, and those sorts of things, none of which are really going to make the situation any better for America's farmers, you know. It's great. I mean, what they're trying to do, and you all know it, you know, we've talked about the smart grid, we talked about the technocrats, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to get everybody in the entire United States and around the world on internet, on broadband, so that we can go into this, fully into this cashless society idea, and everybody's, you know, computer will become basically the little tattletale that sits there and tells on you for everything that you do your entire life. And it'll be a place for you to do telemed and all of the rest of the stuff that Vicky and I and Doug Owen and everyone else has been talking about. Back to this discussion again, right there, off this article, Vilsack's USDA in July trimmed $6 billion in payments to crop insurers such as San Francisco-based Wells Fargo and Company, and that's a good thing, for the next decade. Now he's looking at cuts of as much as $5 billion a year from an automatic payments program that compensates farmers even if they grow nothing. Well, that's not a good thing, all right? Farmers ought not be compensated for growing nothing. But this is part of the shortage, the forced scarcity program. But it also evens things out. What happens if your corn crop this year doesn't do well? Well, next year you'll plant twice as much to try and make up what you lost the year before. And so it's a tough cycle for farmers. You know, if the price is good for wheat, they plant more wheat. That drives the prices down. It's not good for anybody. Let's go live and bring up Brian in Arizona. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, you're talking about corn crops and stuff. I want to switch gears onto this moss and what's really happening. It wouldn't surprise me if $100 million was coming from Rockefeller or somebody to keep us fighting amongst ourselves so the 70% who are against it, who are stupid and still think 9/11 happened by a bunch of terrorists, to keep their mind off what's really going on in the economy and how the truth of 9/11 is unfolding. And Barack Obama and his sense, and the fact that there's no business and no money out there.
Well,
they
I always have
to have some damn diversion.
That's exactly right, Brian, which is why I haven't been giving them what they want, which is me talking about it, you know. The idea is that if they can get, well, we saw just, I have it in the browser, as a matter of fact. I wasn't going to cover the article, but it's on my browser this morning. Yesterday, apparently, some young filmmaker, after having made some films, I think, in Iraq, and I don't have the story memorized, was in a cab in New York and asked the driver, I guess, if he was a Muslim. The driver said yes, and the young fellow stabbed him in the neck. But this is the kind of nonsense that these kind of stories are producing. I certainly don't have any problem with Islam. I don't think that Islam is going to take over the United States anytime soon. If you want to put your finger someplace, I like to point at the Jewish banking cabal, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Defense League, and the places that are really causing all the grief. But anything and everything that they can do to cause division, and like you said, it's a great diversion. They're trying to reinforce their stupid, you know, story that they floated and have basically chiseled into stone as to the causes of the September the 11th live burning sacrifice. So, yeah, I share your concern. It definitely is a smokescreen, and such a tiny one, you know, such a meaningless one. That Macondo project was a whole lot, you know, more captivating. But unfortunately, because, Brian, we've got so many of these Christian Zionist churches out there that are just pumping it. You wouldn't believe the number of emails that I've gotten from people around the United States sending me all these alerts about the Muslim threat.
Yeah, I think our own government's more of a threat than the Muslims right now.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
Pastor Butch calls them the Southern Poverty Pimp Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, you know.
Ridiculous.
It is, and the longer, you know, you listen to the radio, folks, you know, I started out listening to the shortwave radio back at the beginning of the first Gulf War. I've been listening to it pretty steady ever since then. And, boy, the stuff that comes down the pike, you're so right, Brian. Most of this stuff is diversionary. It it focuses our eye on the magician's left hand, and we're not watching what his right hand is doing.
And let's talk about Senate Bill 1070. They uncovered that at least $15,000 worth of donations went into Jan Brewer for governor. She won the primary again. She's up against Goddard. She'll probably win. In the primary, she got 81.8% of the vote. The next closest competitor got like 8.4%. The Democrats ran nobody but Terry Goddard. Then they found out that two of her top advisors, one of them used to be a lobbyist for CCA, Correction Corporation of America, and his wife is now a lobbyist, and her other top aide has a company that does business with CCA, and the plan is here to pick up these illegals and the people who transport them, throw them into Sheriff Joe's jail so he can get his money. Then they turn them over to ICE and they go into CCA jails, and this fills the jails, and that's what Senate Bill 1070 is about. It's not about stopping illegal aliens. They could do that at the border. I mean, this sheriff in Pinal County needs seven more deputies and they're going down there to stop these drug dealers and people who are transporting them, and they can't get any help. All they got to do is put the money on the borders, but they won't do it because all they want to do is fill the jails and line the pockets of CCA, and that's what Senate Bill 1070 is about. It's another lie. You can see it on Rachel Maddow, on, if you Google her, Senate Bill. It's called Incarceration, I-N-C, and then Morgan Lowe of Channel 5 here in town, KPHO, uncovered it. They did a full 30-minute special on Rachel Maddow and showed all the connections and the deplorable record that these CCA prisons have for escape and everything else.
Well, you know, the whole illegal alien invasion, I guess is the proper way of saying it, is part of this international migration and development agenda by the United Nations. When the United States goes into a country like Iraq or Afghanistan or any of the other, you know, 170 places around the world that we go into on a regular basis, that base is there. When we go into these countries or when some kind of a natural disaster happens, what's the natural response? I mean, if I were had been living in Iraq in 1990, and had any kind of a financial ability to do so, I would have left the country. And so you leave and then you become a migrant, if you will. Sometimes you can get out on a visa, sometimes you don't, sometimes you just have to make your way whichever way you can. But if I had to make a choice, Brian, between staying in Afghanistan while the United States is in there raising hell or leaving, I'd leave. And so it drives people across borders. We have people flooding around all over. But if you, as I've read through the International Migration and Development Agenda, I've got it right here beside me on my table. The whole idea is to live in this borderless world where we travel kind of like wildebeest or something from one green pasture to another, always looking for a job. The Global Job Bank is another part of this. The school to work program is part of it as well. But it's an international program of action for this century. And so all of this talk about, you know, let's build a fence, you know, let's build a wall. Well, all that does really is it works to Israel's favor because they can justify their wall. They can justify their turret guns. They can justify continuing, you know, depredations on the people that are kept in their little open air prison in Gaza by the use of a wall. So you've got the Zionist community in the United States championing, oh, let's build a wall. Well, my God, we haven't had a wall since we started this country. A wall's not the answer. The answer is that we have to back out of the United Nations and these UN treaties and get back to a sane and rational immigration policy where if you want to come into this country, you can apply at the front door. And if from your country, we haven't taken as many as we could take this year, your application might be considered. But if we've already got all of the Mexicans that fill our quota needs for Mexicans, you're out of luck until next year. Reapply then. So there's sanity that could be involved in this, but we don't go to sanity, Brian. We just allow our emotions to run, and then we spend all day finger-pointing. And so it's an unfortunate situation with Brewer that she's tied into these prison systems, because if that's the case, it really discredits the work that she's been doing. But we're right up against the break. Thanks for your call.
Always
good calls, Brian, and appreciate it. Continue listening. We'll be back in three, folks. Stay tuned.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your Liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in many bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com. System start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
And if you hadn't heard about it before this morning, you know, you can just put it into your browser. All of you out there with internet connections this morning, not listening on our AM or FM affiliates, but if you have an internet open computer, you can just type into your browser, man stabs Muslim cab driver in New York. It's kind of a lengthy thing to type in there, but just do it. Man stabs Muslim cab driver in New York. I heard the story last evening. And I type that into my browser, and it kind of brings up a whole big page of news. You can read all about it, many different ways it's being played in the news. But again, this is the unfortunate side of all of the various things that have come down the pike. I think Bloomberg's on board. Mayor Bloomberg is on board with this Islamic Community Center, and there are other people in the background. And Brian made a good point. You know, you got to follow the money, look in the background, see who's financing it. This is a large structure that's being built there. But then again, you know, really, the bottom line is, so what? You know, build it right down in the hole if you want to, and then put a pile of synagogue in there, too, and throw in the Catholic Church. Bring in all of your crosses and said transubstantiation cookies. I mean, you know, we're being played like a fiddle. Remember the other day I talked about Poseidon's trident. You know, there's certainly, you go back in the history and look at about, what was it, 600 A.D., when Muhammad lived, I think it was approximately there, I don't have it in front of me, but right about in there. It's been around a long time, and then just look at the way that they were able to expand, you know. William Federer's got a new article up, I think, on newswithviews.com that lays out the history of Islam. He's a Zionist, so you're going to have to watch that, but he lays out the history pretty well. There's a lot to know about it. Sure, I mean, it's possible that, you know, they could be on the move in this century. Look at what we've done with abortion. You know, we've just about, the white population has just about come to a standstill all over Western Europe. Haven't you heard from Russia where they're encouraging, you know, kind of like having sex parties, trying to have more little Russian babies there, you know? we might be having, well, we got sex parties all over America. I've had it ever since, you know, the 1960s, sex, drug, and rock and roll. But unfortunately, we've been, you know, spilling our love in the sink and throwing our babies in the trash. And it's a sad and sorry testimony. So maybe, you know, we'll have an insurgence over the next, you know, 40 or 50 years a rise of Islam. They've been big before. They damn near took all of Europe. So it was Charlemagne, I believe, it was stopped them. Vienna stopped them. A couple of different places that they've been stopped. But, yeah, you know, they're real. They exist. And there's lots of them. So back to this other story, however. You know, we're not going to solve anything. And Brian made the right point. You know, it's a smokescreen. It's a diversion. I felt it as soon as I heard it. My intuition rarely fails me. But back to this other article here in regards to the farmers, all right? The idea of, instead of subsidizing the farmers, we're using money that would ordinarily subsidize the farmers to do set-asides for duck hunters and the green weenies, and to expand broadband into the rural areas. That's not going to help the farmers, and it's not going to help you. You shut down all of the fishing and whatnot out of the Gulf of Mexico. You come in with this coastal and marine spatial planning and force everybody back up and out of work or out of business or out of the coastal areas. Then come into the heartland and start sawing the heart right out of farming. You know, this usurper's administration, we're right back. I mean, don't ever forget the Ukrainian genocides. You know, you want to talk, you know, 6 million Jews? Give us a break. What a smokescreen. It's a smokescreen to hide from your view Stalin's war of extermination. It's to hide from your view the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 million people that were murdered, butchered by the butcher of Budapest. It's a horrible story the more you study it. So let's not think that we're beyond that. We've got the same batard still on the planet. They could easily turn like a snake and bite the United States of America, and it could be happening right now as we speak. So again, fragile recovery, the timing makes growers especially uneasy. Agriculture, like the rest of the economy, is experiencing, here the author writes, a fragile recovery. No, they're not. No, they're not. I have a very good friend who's at, you know, we've talked about it several times in the past. I wanted to bring him on the air with us. He has an organic soybean farm. It's huge, you know, hundreds and hundreds of acres. I wanted to bring him on. He's having a lot of trouble staying alive in this thing. And he's losing his shorts and he's losing his land. But when you get rid of the, you know, the few that are out there that are still raising soybeans, soybeans okay to eat, as long as it's not the GMO soybean. But there are fewer and fewer growers that have a good seed crop that are growing soybeans that are fit for a person to eat. All right. Anyway, the timing makes the growers especially uneasy. Agriculture, like the rest of the economy, is experiencing a fragile recovery. Corn, soybean, and wheat prices are at least 39% below 2008 records. And you know how much corn is being taken out of, you know, food production, and it's being set aside for this biofuels nonsense. It takes more energy to create ethanol than it does, you know, to get the oil up out of the ground. And with the ethanol is not necessarily good for your engine. All right. Anyway, it's all this subsidized. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. Agriculture payments have withstood challenges before. The last real attempt to cut subsidies in 1996 led to a backlash, and bailout checks for farmers after export declines and heat waves persuaded lawyers to abandon cost-cutting. This time, the $1.3 trillion annual federal deficit will make the changes stick, said the House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Patterson, the Minnesota Democrat, whose district's $243 million in 2009 subsidy payments ranked at number 6 out of 435. So, you know, $243 million, these Congress whores, you know, they're going to continue to vote for bringing home the subsidies to their farming community. We need to rethink farming in general, but we're going to have to make the situation where the farmers can compete by cutting, you know, allowing us to grow as much as we used to be the food basket of the world. All that got changed, you know. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a very healthy export market. If Russia's down in wheat, we could send them our surplus wheat. But like I said before, if a farmer experiences a bad year this year and plants extra next year, it just goes against them because they'll be a super. All the rest of the farmers in that area will be doing the same thing, and they'll get less per bushel than they would have if they planted their regular allotment. So that's just, you know, the way it goes. Then it goes on and talks about rural diversity. With more farmers relying on small-town jobs to make ends meet, and even then with incomes trailing those in the urban areas by 29%, rural economies need to diversify. Now, there's lots of truth to that, all right? I know people around here that have dairies, et cetera, and so on, and one or sometimes even both have jobs in town. So they're in the process of farming. They run a farm, milking cows and doing all of this other stuff. And then they have jobs in town to help make up the difference, make up the slack, take up the slack in order to have a decent income and to live like they're, you know, they see on TV. They don't get enough money off of farming and they're not satisfied with that income. And so they go into town and they get jobs. They work as realtors, they work in as bookkeepers and accountants and things that they can do on the side. And it's usually full time on the side. So they're working two full time jobs. Vilsack again talks about it. If you prime the pump properly, you get a better return on the investment. And so he's saying instead of putting money into farm subsidies and encouraging farmers not to grow when they not grow and put it into broadband and internet, that he's supposedly going to get a better return on the investment. Read you the article right out of Boulder, Colorado the other day. Boulder's going to, you know, throw in the towel on the smart grid. Smart metering system because it was costing them more. It cost them more to install it and maintain it than what it was, what they were spending before. It wasn't turning, you know, a profit for them. And nobody stays in business long if they're not making a profit. And that includes the big box stores. And so what are the people in the big box stores doing this morning? Paying and caulking replaces show kitchens at Home Depots and Lowe's. Another new article right off of Bloomberg. Dwayne Townsley craves new kitchen counters for her home. Wow, that's interesting. Her husband, Jeff, a Honda aircraft company engineer, wants a bigger back deck. With money tight, the Townleys are putting those dreams on hold. Well, all across America, people are having to put their quote-unquote dreams on hold. You can have all the dreams you want, but if there's nothing in the checkbook, honey, we're going to have to put those dreams on hold.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells.
Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cardivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, August the 26th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my website, becomevocallocal.com, if you'd like to jump in our chat room this morning. Engage in that discussion. It's available to you at becomevocallocal.com. All the contact information is there as well. Always like to welcome AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota, as they join us in our second hour of each broadcast. Thank you for that. But let's go back in and continue with the news basket a bit further here. The other morning I reported on, they were talking about how painting and caulking and weather stripping and appliances, that's trumping all the new construction. And this article is kind of another public notice piece that reinforces that. It's very important for the people that are upwardly mobile yuppies to feel as though they're part of something and part of a movement. And so if they can't afford to put in new kitchens and build big decks, maybe they need to turn to a can of paint, some caulking and some weather stripping. Well, and so this is what the article's all about. Many Americans, having splurged on show kitchens right off the Bloomberg website, spa bathrooms, and surround sound media rooms during the housing boom, are doing the same. Spending on home renovations for the 12 months ending September the 30th will fall by 25%. If you just happen to be a Lowe's or a Home Depot, that's a major decline. It's going to fall to $107.7 billion. $107.7 billion. It goes all the way back to William Nickerson. I don't know how many of you ever read the book, How I Turned $1,000 into $1 Million in Real Estate in My Spare Time, but I was turned on to that book back in the late 70s, I believe it was, and applied the yardstick, and you can make considerable amount of money, and many did, and it's led to the housing bubble, and now that bubble is burst, and so people are left with all of this energy, and you have all of this forward momentum, but you don't have any buyers and you don't have any money to buy it. So continuing here, it says the pullback is hurting companies large and small, from Home Depot and Lowe's to building contractors and interior design shops. People are having to rethink their think. They're having to turn to new things. The rules have been changed. The rules of engagement are new. They're different. There are still consumers putting in new kitchens. Robert Niblock, the chairman and chief executive officer of Lowe's, said in a telephone interview, but they're doing it because they're going to be in their homes longer. That's the change from the go-go days. So people are trenching in a little bit. They're saying, well, this wasn't the one we really went. The third house to go was a nicer house. We're into this one way over our heads, but we're going to have to stay here for a while. And so they're looking at improvements that would make their stay more comfortable for a longer period of time. Sales of existing homes plunged by a record 27% in July. That was the big news this week. The National Association of Realtors said the highest unemployment rate since 1983 is also making Americans cautious about fixing up their homes. We're in the middle. I've got a friend that's a realtor, and she told me the other day that, this is a buyer's market. Well, I'm a former realtor myself, and I don't know whether you can be a former realtor or not. I have a license on ICE in another state's capital. But, we go through all this buyer's market, seller's market, so on and so forth, even sometimes a lender's market, a buyer's market. What does that mean? Well, It means that there's a glut of houses on the marketplace, and anybody that, you know, can fog a mirror and has the money, he could just about call his price on a property. So it's a buyer's market. And in a buyer's market, and there's a glut of houses, you hunker down, honey, because there ain't very many buyers to be found. We'll be right back.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again, and our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. If you'd like to jump on the phone, you're welcome to do so. Weigh in on these articles, things that we're discussing, things that are in the news that you're aware of that I haven't discussed that you might want to share with the audience. It'll be all right today. Certainly jump on in on the phone, 866-841-1065. But again, a little bit further into this article off Bloomberg, you know, folks, when it gets down, well, I'll just say it this way. Here's how it's written. Many homeowners are painting, caulking, and recarpeting, he said. This is, again, the fellow from NIBLOC, the National Association of Realtors. And many are doing it themselves, all right? Well, honey, let's get some paint and some caulking, you know? Everybody's talking about caulking these days. You know, this is a Bury You the Usurper program. Caulking and weather stripping, you know, and painting. Well, again, it's just band-aids on the sucking chest wound of the body politic, all right? Caulking is no substitute for a well-constructed home, but if it makes you feel better, well, then squirt stuff around, but do it well. Do it well. Caulking can take away value from your home if you're a sloppy caulker, you know? you don't know what you're doing. It makes it look really dreadful. And it really is of limited value. The time to use caulking is when you're building a house, not afterwards as a retrofit. There are many other things like styrofoam insulation that you can cut in strips and carefully put in around windows. You take all the moldings down and things like that. It'll do a better job than caulking, much higher, you know, insulation value, and just the good old fiberglass insulation, you know. Anyway, caulking is, I don't know why they're talking about it so much, other than the fact that it's part of Barry's program. Continuing here, it says, the Townleys are still trying to sell their previous house in Savannah, Georgia, are typical, all right? They're typical in this article, the Townleys. Still trying to sell their previous home in Savannah. See, they made the mistake. They bit the bullet. They did the stupid thing, all right? They bought a new home and had another home for sale, have it up on the market, thinking that that one was going to go ahead and sell, and then they'll go ahead. Anyway, they've done the dumb thing, all right? If you're going to do that, if this is in your mind, sell contingent. You know, you buy the you buy your next house contingent on the sale of the one that you've got. That way you stay in the one that you've got until that house sells, and then you move over to the other one. Now, contingency sales like that are not the realtor's favorite, so they generally won't let you know that they exist, but it's a clause that you can have inserted into a contract very simply that you buy someone else's house contingent on the sale of your own. That way you don't get caught like they are in limbo land. Anyway, it continues, and it's a long article. We can go away from that. This is a rather interesting article, just kind of a sidebar. Again, this morning, gold at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, now a couple hours ago, you don't know where it's at right now, I didn't check, but gold was up $292.40 an ounce, a 30.93% return on your investment. Well, you're not getting that in the banks these days. All right, here's just a second witness to that right off of Bloomberg. Savers pay U.S. banks to keep cash as rates dip and the fees multiply. What's up with that? All right, Alexis Leonidis. I'm telling you, folks, they go to Europe to find their writers. Bloomberg, it's getting tougher for U.S. savers to find a bank where they won't end up paying to keep their money safe. Can you imagine paying a bank to keep their quote-unquote digits safe? What? Average interest on savings, checking, money market, and certificate of deposit accounts fell to 0.99% in July, just under 1%. That's the average. The first decline below 1% in a decade. You know what the current interest rate is, or excuse me, inflation rate is? Some say maybe 8, 10, 12, 14%. And you're putting money on certificates of deposits. You're locking up money at 1% or less. That's a guaranteed loss, okay? Hell, just send me the money. I'll send you nothing. Send me your money. I'll keep some of it. The first decline below 1% in a decade, according to the researcher, Market Rates Insights. Banks also have been raising their fees and adding new ones. Most recently in response to the financial services overhaul bill that became law on July the 21st. The result is that an increasing number of savers, that's a oxymoron if there ever was one, are seeing their deposit earnings eaten up by charges. That's frustrating people like Ken Ward, this guy's really stupid, who recently passed on a savings account with a 0.01% interest rate at the Chase Bank branch near his home in Montague, New York. All right, I had to pass by on that savings account too there, Kent. A 0.01% interest rate. We went to Chase because of the convenience, said Ward, who's 57 years old, a stock loan trader who was helping his daughter find a place to tuck away $10,000. Obviously, if he's a stock loan trader, he hasn't much confidence in the stock market. He's actually taking his daughter, he must not like his daughter, to try and find a bank to put away, tuck away $10,000. quote, but with those rates, we might as well put it in the mattress, and then at least we won't be charged any fees. Can't. Wake up. You might as well put it in gold and silver. That way you wouldn't be just putting it in the mattress. You'd be seeing a 30% return on your investment annually. Had they gone with the Chase savings account, it would have paid about $1 in annual interest. Can you imagine? You deposit $10,000, you know they're going to turn it right around, use the miracle of fractional reserve banking, and jack that bad boy up to about $1 million, at least $100,000, all right, in new loans. And they're only going to give them a dollar at the end of a year. A dollar. They don't even get a toaster. Potential fees included $4 if the balance fell below $300, $2 for each non-Chase ATM withdrawal, $3 for each withdrawal after making... Folks, forget about it. The banks are dead. The banks are dead. Get out of dollar-denominated investments. It's just a losing deal. Look, don't have to take it from me. Bugattis sell for crazy money as classic cars beat the S&P 500. New news off of Bloomberg. Seth Lubov writing for Bloomberg. Long article. You might enjoy it if you're a car buff. Peter Mullen, owner of one of the largest private collections of classic French automobiles, points to a 1935 Hispano Suiza J12 Cabriolet sitting among 60 other cars in his museum in Southern California. I mean, you could invest in antique aircraft, too. This is the finest car ever made, Mullen said. At 100 miles an hour, you couldn't even tell the engine was on. The collector is just warming up at his Oxnard-based Mullen Automotive Museum, which was designed to evoke a 1930s Art Deco auto salon in Paris. He caresses the swooping fender of a red and black 1938 Bugatti Type 57C Atlanta Coupe, designed by the company's founder's son, Gene Bugatti, Bloomberg Market Magazine's reports in its October issue. He's not taking his money to Chase Manhattan, folks. He's buying something tangible, and he's keeping it in a museum. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in many bug-out bags, perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com. My
soul. Come, explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And just knocking around in the news bucket this morning. Lots of little bit of news articles. None of it has any real substance. It's just all window dressing for the American audience. Public notice, if you will. But there's messages in this stuff. This is the finest car ever made. Mullen said at 100 miles an hour, you couldn't even tell the engine was on. He's talking about a Bugatti, an ancient one, too. The collector's just warming up. He caresses the swooping fender of a red and black 1938 Bugatti Type 57C. Blah, blah, blah. I love all the French cars, but Bugatti is my favorite of favorites. It's the ultimate car in engineering, design, and performance. The museum's creme de la creme spins on a pedestal in the middle of a 46,800-square-foot building. This is a private collection, folks. Private museum, too. In May, an anonymous buyer paid more than $30 million for this 1936 Bugatti Type 57C Atlantic. A silver-blue coupe with a raised spine that runs the length of the car. Mullen declined to comment on media reports that he was the buyer. It's the highest price ever paid for a car, topping the old record by about $2 million. The same Bugatti sold in 1971 for $59,000. $59,000. And it goes on, talks about Jerry Seinfeld's collection and other people's collections. Big money. Big money. But what's at the bottom of all of this? Well, they're seeking hard assets, all right? Today, with the stock market in the doldrum, the article continues, investors seeking hard assets are turning to vintage cars, often for more than $1 million, says Keith Martin. Now, the problem here is that you go out and you spend $1 million or $2 million or $3 million for an automobile, you've got a lot of risk in that. You're going to have to find somebody else. These are opinion pieces, if you will, to use Melody Cedarstrom's terminology. These are opinion pieces, all right? You're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody that's going to be willing to shell out more for that automobile than you did. So it's a way of parking your money, but unfortunately it might also be a way of parking your money someplace you'll never be able to extract it. On the other hand, this morning, gold, bullion, coins, you know, running at $1,237.90 in the spot market, and probably higher by now. There's no shortage of people who would be willing to buy that coin from you by noon today. You wouldn't have to, have a prayer on your side in order to be able to part with that coin. At the moment, important cars are making crazy money, he says. Baby boomers still have all the money. Half of them are saying, I always wanted a Ferrari SWB. All right? So they've got money, let's say. Some of them do, and we do know that that's the case. When I was working for the M.A. Mortensen Construction Company, they had just completed building the parking garage aspect of Bill Gates' new house over on Lake Washington in Washington State. He has quite a collection of automobiles himself. Likes to go out in the evening kind of incognito and drive around in a classic Corvette, you know, and things like that. So there's more to this. We'll go over here, jump up to Alaska. The Tea Party rumbling up there again. Murkowski awaits the results of a possible Tea Party-sponsored upset in Alaska. Roger Runningen and Hans Nichols writing for Bloomberg. Absentee voters will determine whether Republican Lisa Murkowski of Alaska seeking a re-election to the U.S. Senate can gain enough ground to withstand a primary challenge by an insurgent endorsed by Sarah Palin and the Tea Party. Now, you know, all the states have two senators, all right, in the U.S. Senate, right? We just read about, what, Ted Stevens, you know, he crapped out there, his plane went into a wall somewhere. And now Lisa Murkowski, Senate number two, is going to be replaced. New times are coming to Alaska. Murkowski, 53, who followed her father into office, is trailing political newcomer Joe Miller, 43, a Gulf War Army veteran and Yale Law School graduate by about 1,500 votes, all right? So there's a political newcomer going to the United States Senate. He's 43 years old, a Gulf War Army veteran, Yale Law School graduate. We were talking about Mark Rubio yesterday. The Associated Press reports thousands of absentee votes remain to be counted beginning August the 31st before the final tally will determine the winner. It ain't over yet, folks, Murkowski said at a news conference in Anchorage. Of course, they won't even bother to count the absentee ballots if the ballots cast in the voting polls clearly show a winner. Miller helped in the race by former Alaska Governor Palin, the 2008 Republican nominee for vice president, as if they have to remind us. I mean, is there a single day in the week where you don't hear about Sarah, I love dog mushing and killing moose, Palin? All right. Had said Murkowski was not Republican enough. Not Republican enough. Elsewhere, the primary results were more predictable. Arizona, John McCain, blah, 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 and it continues. So, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff for sure. We've been talking a little bit about this book that I'm reading. I'm getting closer and closer to the end. Slowing down, though, it's getting more boring as we go further into it. But it's a textbook, Legal Research and Writing for Paralegals. I won't bore you with all the sort of details. But there's a lot of information that's coming out in this book. Lots of very interesting stuff. Now, much of it may be rendered obsolete by the Internet. A lot of this stuff talks about how you go to law libraries to do your research. But it definitely suggests places where you can actually go to get the information and what you're really looking for when you're going into the process of preparing research for court battles, pleadings and things like that, and appeals. And if you don't know this information and you don't know the inside track of what's going on inside the quote-unquote legal system, then you may be wasting your time. And as I've mentioned before, even if you're not in the least bit, you know, involved with law, a lot of this information that you can find in a textbook on becoming a paralegal, you might be able to find one in a library near you, will aid you if you happen to be a blogger, write an article, publish a newsletter, internet newsletter. Maybe some of our listeners out there in radio land work for a small town newspaper, and you want to up your game a little bit. There's information that you can learn from this kind of a source. And so I'm just going to share with you a little bit the process of compiling a legislative history right out of this Legal Research and Writing for Paralegals published by Little Brown and Company, written by Deborah E. Bouchot. And I've dropped the links in the chat room before on this book. Many researchers have difficulty compiling a legislative history because the documents are diverse and are seldom located together. So one of the things that we have to be very careful of when we're talking about legislation, you know, we came out and the Congress had put forward their H.R. 2454, the Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009, some 2,000 pages, 1,500, whatever it was. And, of course, we had to go in and immediately embark on that because we needed to rail against it in the news. But in the process of so doing, all we're really looking at is a piece of pending legislation. It really hasn't had the good housekeeping seal of approval. Hasn't gone through the Senate yet. Hasn't come out of the Senate and out of the committees and gone in onto the president's desk for signing, even though the usurper has no authority to do so. So we need to understand that. And there's lots of things, too. We go back and you look in the past and you say, well, my gosh, why do we have this or why do we have that? You know, What was the upside and the downside of Roe versus Wade, and how has it been treated in the courts ever since? And so this process of learning about the legal research and writing from the standpoint of the paralegal helps you to see how you go about putting it all together. Often, you'll be required to search many sources. Don't be shy about asking reference librarians for help. Reference librarians are aware that conducting legislative history research can be difficult, and that there are few researchers familiar with the various sources to be used. There are, however, several steps you can take to gather the documents you need. We'll cover those right after this.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we're going to continue just a little bit further here. I hope you find this interesting. And really, whether you're going into a study of law, or whether you're doing legal research, or like I said before, whether you're writing a blog, some of this information might be helpful to you. Certainly, we want to be able to take a look at things and present it accurately and be credible in our research. I certainly do. Don't always have the time for it, but a lot of this is new to me. I'm amazed at how much I'm learning in this one book and how much work the paralegal has to do in order to support whatever the attorneys that she works for, he, she, it, work for, how much work they have to do. They do most of the heavy lifting in a law office. But again, here we go, examining the history of the statute. Right? And this is a course book. And it's got questions and tests and everything in it. After you read a statute in the U.S. Code Annotated, or the USCS, you will be provided with historical notes giving information about the enactment of the statute. And this is on page 328. We're a long ways into it, so they're going to talk about some material that you haven't heard of yet. But that's all right. Just let it go. Get the overall picture. For example, immediately following a statute in the U.S. Code Annotated, you will be provided with the information such as the following, and then they give it to you. Thus, West, and that's West Publishing, remember we talked a little bit about it seems to be, I don't know this is a fact, but it seems to be that this course is pointing to certain specific places which have a monopoly control. We read from, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica the other day, Americana, in regards to Mr. Adam Black and others, Henry Campbell Black, the founder of the Black's Law Dictionaries, and so much more. But thus, West, this is West Publishing, they go back into the 1800s too. Thus, West also refers you to its publication, United States Code, Congressional and Administrative News Service. And the acronym there is USCCAN, the USCCAN. You might browse that up, browse it up and then bookmark it. The United States Code, Congressional and Administrative News Service, USCCAN, which is a monthly pamphlet, which includes the public laws recently enacted, the legislative history of selected bills, a summary of pending legislation, presidential proclamations and executive orders, various federal regulations, and court rules. I say, if you're not aware of these things, if you're not aware that they're out there, and how all of these parts and pieces fit together into the matrix of what is government today, then you're still running clueless. You're running naked on a battlefield. Perhaps the most important information you're given is that the statute in question was introduced as public law, and they're just using an example here, 86-449. That is, and what do these numbers mean? You know, you've got H.R. 4972, a bill to repeal the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. That's one that's pending now. That would get rid of Obamacare. H.R. 4972. Encourage your legislators to pass it. But, again, what does that mean? H.R. 4972, it's the House of Representatives, or, you know, H.R. House Resolution, I guess it is, a House Resolution in the 111th Congress, the 4,972nd bill proposed. So, again, as they say here, the statute in question was Public Law 86-449, that is, it was the 449th bill proposed in the 86th Congress. So this is the little code. This is the identification number that you are looking for, that you need to have to be able to make much progress here. This public law number will assist you in tracking the legislative history of your state. Continuing, if for some reason you do not have or know the public law number for a particular statute, but you know the general subject matter of a statute, you should use the subject matter index. And so again, if you don't know the H.R. 4972 number, but you know that this is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, you could go in and look under that and maybe find a link to this H.R. 4972, which ultimately you're going to need if you're going to proceed. Once you have obtained, here's their use of words, once you have obtained the critical public law number, then you can locate the documents comprising the legislative history by using a variety of sources. Now, we're going to go through a couple of the sources that you can use. And I do believe this is important. I wouldn't be taking the time to bring it to your attention. So that you can get a better understanding. Not every piece of legislation that comes down the pike is going to ultimately become a law. But not all of the ones that get tabled, let's say, or set aside or die in committee are dead. They keep coming back and coming back and coming back. The Patriot Act was a colloquy. It was like a Christmas list. Everything the government ever wanted but was never ever able to pass, they blow the hell out of New York City and Washington and make a big hole in Shanksville. I don't know where they took the planes. And then they can bring this to pass. They can get this legislation through. They can create their Department of Homeland Insecurity, etc. Couldn't do it without it. They needed a Pearl Harbor-like event. All right. So they just because a piece of legislation is dead doesn't mean that it's dead and buried. It's just laying in the background. And this is where tracking legislative history is valuable to us. At the end, they talk about here now the USCAN, USCCAN. Again, that stands for the United States Code Congressional and Administrative News Service. At the end of a congressional session, the monthly USCAN pamphlets are accumulated into bound volumes. USCAN is subscribed to by many law firms and is readily available at all law libraries. Now, you see, it's not something that you would subscribe to. It's probably dreadfully expensive. And it's available at almost all law libraries, but not all of them. There's certainly not anyone in your small town law library alongside your courthouse. And so you wouldn't have access to this information. But the lawyers, when you go into the lawyer's office, they have access to this information. And they're going to charge you a bloody lot to know what's inside it. Okay? And so what we're trying to do here now is to circumvent. We're doing an end run on the expensive legal process, trying to find out what they know, where they know it, how they know it, how do they come off sounding so bright all the time, and then understanding that most of the people in Congress are themselves lawyers, and they grew up on this. Right? Oh, the little people. Well, the little people don't understand crap. Right? They're stomach posts most of the time. They don't understand these little tricks of the trade. So I'm trying to help you find some of these tricks for the trade so that when you become vocal local, you can do so adroitly, piercingly, penetratingly, and successfully. Use USCCANS's table of legislative history and insert the public law number of the statute you're searching. This easy-to-read table will inform you what bill number was originally assigned to the statute when it was introduced. All right, so we all know that the tracking system, the bill starts at it has to be introduced. Somebody has to write it. It could be, a colloquy. It could be a compendium of many other pieces of legislation. Somebody has to write it. And then when they write it, it goes into a court docket, but it gets assigned a bill number. And then once it's been assigned a bill number, it goes to committee. Then the committee holds hearings sometimes and issue a report. And then it goes out onto the House floor and they vote on it in the House of Representatives. And then it gets referred to the Senate. It follows the same thing. It gets a new Senate number. Then it goes into assigned to a committee. And then it goes through hearings or discussions or something. And then it comes back out and it comes back to a floor vote. They vote on that. They might have to, unless they're exactly the same, they have to send it back to the House. And eventually it gets passed out of all of that. Reports are made. And then it goes to the president for signature. And then it goes out as a public law. And so there's a big tracking process here. And at each step of the way, things happen. And we need to be aware of what has happened in the translation. You know, it started out, it was going to be an apple pie. By the time it got done, it was a wild turkey. Continuing here, it says, this easy-to-read table will inform you what the bill number was originally assigned to the statute when it was introduced, meaning, and then it goes H.R. 289, meaning the 289th law introduced in the House of Representatives. So I was right, H.R., House of Representatives. Or S-741, meaning the 741st bill introduced in the Senate. You'll then be given a reference to which committee report to examine. So then we go in and we have to look at the committee reports, too. We'll be right back.
recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the oraclebroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And having arrived at the last segment of today's two-hour broadcast, we find ourselves inside of this discussion in regards to the process of compiling a legislative history directly out of a textbook for paralegals, right? And we're moving forward. Talks about this, continues this way, says, you'll then be given a reference, blah, 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 to which committee report to examine. The committee reports are very, very important to look at. And I'm not going to dwell too long on that today. We're very short on time. But the committee reports are part of the journey. And the people who come and testify, that's part of the journey. Understanding who came and who paid attention. You know, most people never, ever, ever, ever get involved at any level in the government. So they're always on the outside. They're just having to react. But other people are proactive. They get inside. The lobbyists don't spend all the time and money in Washington and in your state house that they do for nothing. They do it to influence public law and public opinion. And they're successful at it because they're persistent and they're paid well to be there. So we can use the internet and we can use law libraries to get inside these meetings to find the arguments, the persuasive arguments, and the who's who list. And that we do by looking at committee reports. Continuing, you can use these references to locate the pertinent committee reports as well as the debates published in the Congressional Record. it's important to know, you know, what is the congressional record? How do you find it? You might type that into your browser. Congressional Information Service. Here's another way of going. And then I'm not going to sell it all. There's another one here is the Commercial Clearinghouse. These are all the different places. The Congressional Index. All right? These are just companies, people, places, publishers that the lawyers turn to for this information. Continuing, he says, obtaining documents needed for legislative history, bills and their amendments. You can obtain the text of bills and later amendments to the bills and committee reports or in the microfiche collection of the CIS entitled Congressional Bills, Resolutions, and Law. You can also do that at thomas.gov right now on the Internet. So the changes that have come about with the Internet, you know, cornelllaw.edu is another good site to go to. Find Law is another good site to go to on the Internet. Some of this stuff that used to be accessible only to the legal beagles at a great expense is now wide open to you on the Internet. But it's just like an encyclopedia or a dictionary. If you don't know what to ask for, if you don't know what to ask your browser to find, how is your browser going to find it? It knows right where it is if you'll just ask it correctly. Transcripts of committee hearings. Transcripts of the hearings held by congressional committees and subcommittees are available in a pamphlet form, as well as in microfiche, through the CIS Microfiche Library. You know that the transcripts are available on the Internet. You can go in and find them. But you just have to know that transcripts are available from the committee reports. Committee reports, congressional committees and subcommittees issue their reports in conventional pamphlet forms, and I'm sure it's up on the Internet now. And there's the C-SPAN, where you can actually watch the stuff happening sometimes. Continuing, debates are published in the Congressional Record. It's a newspaper issued daily when Congress is in session. The Congressional Record is initially issued in pamphlet form and is finally published in bound volumes at the end of a congressional session. So right now we're involved in the 111th Congress. So there will be a Congressional Record for the 111th Congress published finally in a bound volume. If you do not already know the date any debate occurred, look up the bill number in the record's history of bills and resolution, the Congressional Record's history of bills and resolutions. This will cite the day of any debate of the bill that you're researching. The spine of each volume clearly indicates the dates, blah, 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 and you'll find that on the web probably. Once you know the date that the debate occurred, you simply match this date with the date appearing on the spine of a volume of the Congressional Records. And then you can go in, you can find pre-compiled legislative histories, and they could be really handy. Now, back to the beginning of this particular segment, the legislative history. This is an introduction to the legislative history research. Let's get an overview of where we just went in detail. It is possible that in the course of your research of an issue, you realize that the statute relating to the issue is unclear. Unclear. Remember, as we stated before, that you're not going to know when Nancy Pelosi said, you're not going to know what's in the bill until the bill is passed. What was also being said but not spoken was that no one is going to know what's in this bill until it finds its way to an appeal court, an appellate court someplace, or the Supreme Court, and the judge and justices determine what it says. They find the law. Continuing here from the text, usually you would then read and analyze the cases interpreting the statute. You know, I mean, like, what's so difficult to understand about, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal? Originally, things were pretty clear and simple. Didn't take the Sanhedrin Council and a circle of 70 rabbis to interpret that for you. It was stated clearly. But that's not the case anymore. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed seems to be quite the mystery, an enigma. And every decade it has a different meaning. The courts try and determine, they interpret what is said. They interpret the Constitution and they determine its meaning and they determine it over and over again. Not all statutes, the authors continue, have been subject to court interpretation. However, and you may still be faced with an ambiguous statute and no guidance in determining its meaning. Now, again, this was published back in the 1990s, but they're using the term guidance. If you listen to these various and sundry, like Catherine Sebelius and others, You'll hear that terminology used all the time, seeking guidance. They're looking for guidance. That's not a map and a compass. It's a judge. It's a justice's opinion, seeking guidance. And it is equally possible that the cases interpreting the statute are contrary to the position you need to assert on behalf of a client. So you may very well come into a statute and you're reading the statutory law and you think, aha, here it is, this. But when you go in and find out, you do your legislative history, you go in and you find out that the justices, where the statute says the red ball, they come back and they invert that and they say it's a green ball. Well, red means green. We all know that. Now you know that. And you wouldn't know that if you didn't track out the legislative history. In these instances, you should examine the various documents that reflect the activity of the legislature that enacted the statute to assist you in determining the intent of the legislature. The intent of the legislature is always important. The intent of the lawgiver. What did he say when he said, thou shalt not steal? What is meant by steal? Who is thou? What is shalt not? This process is referred to as preparing or compiling a legislative history. Okay? A legislative history. If you remember nothing else from the broadcast, remember federal legislative history and state legislative history, and then browse it up and find out what that entails, what you can find out about it on the Internet. This process, again, is referred to as preparing or compiling a legislative history by examining the various versions of the bill. Here's the keys now. By examining the various versions of the bill, the testimony given before the committee report, and the debates, you may be able to resolve ambiguities in a statute or argue that a court's prior interpretation of a statute is contrary to the intended purpose of a statute. And so if you compile your legislative history well, you may be able to determine that an older piece of legislation was interpreted contrary to the intent of the legislator. And you might have an opportunity to set precedent and turn something that was previously considered to be well established under stare decisis in common law, turn something over or overturn or reverse an earlier court's decision. Not easily done, but it's something that might be done. By examining the various versions of the bill, again, blah, 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 while a well-constructed argument relating to a legislative history and the legislature's intent and purpose may be useful and instructive to a court is not required to adopt an interpretation of a statute based upon the legislator's intent in enacting a law. So we have primary authorities and we have secondary authorities, and the legislative history is convincing, and it can be could be considered persuasive, but it is not a primary authority, and so it's just part of the process. So if you do blogs, keep it in mind. There is such a thing as a legislative history. You might put it into your research and use it. We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com. the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and My Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.